welcome to Thursday night at the Speakeasy Cafe. We would like to invite you to take the stage for the Sound of Ink open mic poetry night. Now, let's get started. I want your ink in our ears.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Speakeasy Cafe open mic poetry show. It is going to be a fantastic evening. It's absolutely beautiful outside today. I got to do some yard work and get chased off by a hornet's nest and fell in a bunch of thistles. And it doesn't get better than that, right? So I am really ready to just sit down and chill and relax and have fun with you guys, hear what you're bringing to read. And I know it's going to be amazing. We do have some things to go over before we get started. First, I would like to give you the number. It is 646-595-3965. That's 646-595-3965 if you would like to call in and read tonight. I want to announce that our fundraiser is officially done. We did not meet our goal, so if you would still like to help, just shoot me a message and I can tell you how you can do that. I am working on getting all the posters now and making sure I've not missed anyone. So as I go through this, if I missed you or missed someone's name, you know, please let me know so I can get that corrected. For those of you who were able to help donate, please know that we would not still be here if it were not for your contributions towards our 2024 broadcasting season. So please know we thank you very, 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 so very much. And with that, for the very first time, I am proud to announce and gratefully happy to announce and thank our 20, and they are, dun, 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 should have fanfare and stuff, Karen Depthrider DeWitt, Gary and Noreen Snyder, Jay Tubb, Lori Binder, Timothy Melton, Kasheda, Within the Words, Lola Lawrence, Robert Reed Murphy, Martha Shefsik, Stephen Robert Hine, Vicky Aqua, a.k.a. Mama Oladeji, Sean Mua and Rick Clark, Brian Hartshorn, Jade Mist, Mr. Rebel Jones, Pineapple 16, Rose Rosen, Rich Hadaway, Amelia T. Davis, T. Byron Kelly, Terry Galloway, Michael Emerald, Gina Storm, Tiffany Jaggers, and LJ, Laura Jean. I'm going to have to ask her how she wants me to put her name on here so we can thank her. I also want to thank those of you who made donations in the memory of Melvin Douglas Johnson, John Kays, Glenn Still, Philip Kent Church, Ray Neighbors, Charles C.B. Banks, Cherry Rose, and King's Cadence. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. You are incredible, and my heart is full. I don't know what else to say. Everybody, please, this is a hard thing. You know, it's not an easy thing to dip in your pocket and spare any dollars right now. So, you know, make sure you give a thanks. Thank out. Those people who were able to help. All right. I see that you dropped, Rich. You were the first caller tonight, so you were becoming on first. I've got you written down on my piece of paper. Paper and pencil are my friends. They are trustworthy when electronics are not. Remember that, you guys. Paper and pen. Okay. So, speaking of pens and papers and quills and notebooks and all that good stuff, it is time to go through our so delayed Inspiration from the Inkwell mini workshop. Make sure you have your papers and pencils and all that good stuff ready as I go through this. If you don't get everything written down, don't worry. You can always come back after the show's over and re-listen to the beginning of the program to grab whatever you missed. And remember, we have 17 years worth of podcasts. If you're sitting there and you don't know what to do one night, just jump up and pull the show up and listen to the first 15 minutes of any of the episodes and you'll be off and running. All right. Okay, so let's jump right in and do this week's poetry prompts. Remember, prompts are like seeds planted. They are meant to grow into poems. You can use the prompts as the title of the poem. It can be a line in your poem or the general concept of your poem. Beyond that, whatever you do with them is entirely up to you. I want to thank everybody who contributed prompts for tonight's show. I always, every morning on Thursdays, I post a post on my Facebook page asking for prompts from the community. So that's what we are sharing here. Some of your guys' mixes, some of mine, and some that are mixed both. So Michelle Mahler, Marthaler, sent in the prompt, which was 1A, the thoughts running through my head. So that's 1A, the thoughts running through my head. And when I saw it, I instantly got an image in my head, and I was so inspired by hers that this is my prompt that's inspired by her prompt, which is 1B, and that is running through my head with scissors. Running through my head with scissors. Which everyone knows you are not supposed to run with scissors. Okay, we'll be playing with that a little bit more in just a moment. Prompt number two, who do I want to be today? Who do I want to be today? Number three, like a cheap postage stamp, I got stuck. Like a cheap postage stamp, I got stuck. Number four, you're my nasty habit. You're my nasty habit. Number five, death of a barista. Death of a barista. It sounds like that should be one of Jim Hart's detective novels. Number six, society made him. Society made him. Number seven, the other way. Don't look the other way. Eight, generations. Generations. Nine, there's something inside my head. It's me running with scissors. There's something inside my head. Number 10, I see them on TV. I see them on TV. Number 11, I could never sit still. I could never episode. Till the next episode. Number 13, the never back forward look. The never back forward look. 14, stranger on the outside. Stranger on the outside. And number 15, something brewing. Something brewing. Now, remember that you can write one poem per prompt. You can mix and match the prompts and use 15, 9, 11, and heck, grab three, why not? And use those all in one poem, or you can get real froggy and use all of the lines in one poem, which would be really interesting. I used to try to kind of loosely follow a theme when I came up with all the prompts, but since you guys have been helping me come up with the prompts, that can get real exciting. Using all of these in one poem, but I would love to see it. Before you sit down to write to any of these, remember to do your pick apart a prompt writing exercise. And as we go through these, I'm gonna jump back up here, and we're gonna talk about one of these real quick when we're done. But the concept of the pick apart a prompt writing exercise is to promote what you do with a prompt before you write to it is far more important than what you write to it. When you sit down to write to something, your brain will automatically, in its algorithm, pull up the things that are most commonly associated in your experiences with that topic. And what I want you to do is to get used to denying the basic, the most common, and searching inside yourselves and finding the things that are a little deeper, that are a little different, that are twisted in a way that not anyone else is really going to think about. I want you to find a way to write that poem beyond the typical inspiration you would normally get. Find your own voice. That's how you write things that are incredibly inspiring and surprising and like, where the heck did that come from type of stuff. Okay, so what you need to do is you need to take your first prompt and you'll write it down on the top of a clean journal page. And then I want you to, underneath that, I want you to write at least six different ideas for poems you could write to that one prompt. Okay, so let's take a look at the one up here that I was talking about, the one that I came up with off of Michelle's, and that's running through my head with scissors. So write that at the top of your page, and then write down at least 6 different poems you could write to that topic, you know, so either using it as a title or a line in or the concept of. How many ways could you twist that around? How many different poems could you write using that prompt? I want you to write down at least 6 of them. You know, what are the scissors? Why are you running through your brain with scissors? What are you in there trying to cut out? What are you in there, you know, why? Why is this happening? I want to know. Someone needs to write this poem because I need to know why you are running through your head with scissors. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a rebellious nature? Is it, you know, cutting out the things you don't want to remember? Or is it because you're making paper snowflakes in your head? I don't know. I don't know. I need to know this. Somebody write that poem. All right. So once you're done with the first one, go on down to 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to the bottom until you have at least 6 different prompt or poem ideas for the 15 prompts. All right. You will not get through this exercise without something grabbing a hold of you, and you're going to be off and writing, and it's going to be something that is surprising even to you. All right, the next thing I want to do is we are going to do your themed journal free write assignment. On a clean journal page, I would like you to write, and some of you have already noticed that on my page because I posted it as a question today. I would like you to write, if I had a superpower, it would be, and then I want you to just keep writing. I want you to write, what is a superpower? If you have a superpower, what would it be? How would you use it? You know, what would the advantages or disadvantages be of having that superpower? Would it be used for good intent, or is there a darker side? You know, maybe you'll even push yourself deeper and ask yourself, okay, so this is a superpower I picked. You know, why did I pick that superpower? You know, do you think that maybe things in your life or in your past influenced that decision? How and why? You know, how deep you want to get into this is entirely up to you. I don't want you to overthink it. I want you to just sit down. If I had a superpower, it would be, and then why? Explain. Have fun with that. It's just for you and your journal, not for popular consumption. So you're free to write and think. Free to write freely. That's why it's called a free write, right? Free write, right. All right, so next, we are going to go over your writing exercise, and we're going to be doing this when we started it last week, but we're going to be running this through the end of the month because I think that it's a good one. And this might be pushing some of you out of your comfort zones a little, but isn't that the point of doing these? You know, it's only when we push ourselves out of our comfort zones that we grow. For a long time, I noticed that there was a very common, you know, I have very strong passions. Things that are deeply embedded in my soul, right? And when I write often, I see the same themes or the same ideas and sometimes the same phrases or words coming up in my poetry. And push yourself to do something different is you're going to end up like I did for a while, writing the same poem over and over again, but in a bunch of different ways. And pretty soon that gets boring. You know, it's like, what am I doing? I'm not, you know, there's something inside of you that knows what's happening, even if you don't outwardly know what's happening, and your brain kind of shuts down. You know, it's like you don't think that I don't know what I'm writing, it's blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so the point is to push yourself and do things that are different. When you do that, you grow. Every single thing you do to improve yourself as a writer is going to affect and change the way you write. And there isn't any one of us who are at our peak potential right now. This is the best we're ever going to be. If we were, how sad is that? So I don't care how good of a poet you think you are. If you work on yourself, if you play with your passions, if you explore things, if you challenge yourself, if you push yourself, you are nowhere near right now the poet you're going to be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You know, so my question to you is, are you worth that effort? Is your writing worth that effort? Are you willing to do the things that you need to do? You know, it's great to have natural talent, but natural talent alone is not enough to be a great writer. You are worth the work. The things you're going to write 10 years from now are worth the time that you put in now to get to that place. I believe in you. Okay. So this one is going to push some of you out of your comfort zones a little, because not all of us are real comfortable putting ourselves out there, but we're going to work on collaborations. And this does not have to be a great work, all right? It's just an experiment. It's something fun. It's finding somebody to play with words with you. If you happen to write something that you guys love, fantastic. But if you don't, it doesn't matter, because guess what? Nobody sees it but you. You know, and you can even have a dialogue with each other and talk about, you know, I don't think this one's working. This, you know, well, let's, maybe if we did it in this direction. You know, you learn through those conversations, those brainstorming sessions with each other about what's going on with what you're writing. There's so many things and so many ways this will benefit you. All right. So I want you to think about someone you're comfortable with, or someone you'd like to try writing something with or discuss writing things with, right? Shoot them a message and say, hey, so I have this writing exercise where I have to do a collab with somebody, and I thought it might be kind of fun to explore it with you, you know, and just kind of play with it and see with maybe what we could come up with. And, you know, you guys together can decide on a topic if you want, or you can draw virtual straws to see who writes the first verse and just sends it to you blindly, and the next person just follows along. You know, it's whatever you decide to do with the person that you're comfortable with to start writing together. Okay? There's no time limit on finishing this, so you don't have to rush and do it. You guys can take your time and work on it and play and explore. There are no rules other than that you allow yourself to take a chance and reach out to somebody and that you have fun with it. Other than that, just, you know, play. Play with words. Find somebody and have some fun. All right? Remember, as food for our creative souls, as we close this up, I want to make sure we go over all these things. We're focusing on reading. If you're not reading more than you're writing, you are doing it what? You're doing it backwards. Yes, you've heard this so many times, you're probably coming out your ears. So, you know, sometimes I always threaten this, but I'm going to do a pop quiz occasionally with you guys, and I'm going to ask you. And the question is going to be, if you're not reading more than you're writing, what are you doing? And we'll see if you know how to finish that sentence. It's going to happen. As our writer's discipline, every single day, go out and write a haiku poem. Haiku, American haiku, is what I normally concentrate on. There's many different types. You can do whatever type you like. But the type I do is the American haiku, which is three lines with 5-7-5 syllable count. Go out every day into the world and find something worth 17 syllables. You're so busy, rush, point A to point B, doing stuff for somebody else all day long. Take back 17 syllables worth of time for your own to feed yourself. And the important part of this is to write it down when you think of it. So don't wait. Don't wait till later. Don't think I can, you know, I'll remember it and I'll jot it down later. No. The point of this, you guys, is to stop what you're doing, to stand still on yourself and tell yourself that this part of me, this real part of me, this true part of me, not me the postal worker, not me the doctor, not me the whatever it is that you do, that's not who you are. That is what you are. When you stop because of those 17 syllables, that's who you are. And you have to feed and nurture and recognize that part of yourself. Because if you don't, it's going to act like a spoiled child, and it's going to cross its arms, and it's going to shut up and give you the silent treatment. And then you have to prime the pump and do all kinds of stuff till it, you know, you appease it, you know, give it its offerings, its blood sacrifice, whatever, right? How important it is. I want you to kind of think about what I'm saying here. You know, why do you think it's so important? Do you understand how important it is to stop and give yourself that time. Write it down. And I don't care if it's not enough syllables. You don't have to sit down and anguish over it in the moment. If it's only 16 syllables, I don't care. You can fix it later. The point is to stop, to recognize who you are, what you are, feed yourself, and then keep going on and taking care of Mr. Jones's dreams. All right? The magic in this is to stop and write it down when you think of it. There's so many ways that this can help you. I hope that this is one of them that you do. And if you say, I don't like haikus, fine. Write me a 17-syllable sentence. We're good. We're good to go. I don't care what you call it. All right, I'm going to run through your prompts again very quickly. 1A, the thoughts running through my head. 1B, running through my head with scissors. 2, who do I want to be today? 3, like a cheap postage stamp, I got stuck. 4, you are my nasty habit. 5, death of a barista. 6, society made him. 7, don't look the other way. 8, generations. 9, there's something inside my head. 10, King William Shatner, there's something on the wing. There's something inside my head. 10, I see them on TV. 11, I could never sit still. 12, till the next episode. 13, the never back forward look. 14, stranger on the outside. And 15, something brewing. All right, you guys, that's it for this week's edition to Inspiration from the Inkwell, our mini workshop. Remember, if you missed anything, you can come back after the show is over and re-listen to the beginning of the archived podcast and jot down anything that you missed. I am going to play an audio track. We always start and end every episode with a piece, a recorded piece. You would like to have yours played on the air and in turn played for the world, because we do broadcast worldwide. You can send those to me and I get them uploaded to the show's library and be able to play them. Shoot me a message if you are interested in doing that. The piece that I picked, and I hope this is the right one because I haven't heard it for a long time, is Neil Hilborn, and it is called OCD. So here we go. Maybe. There we go.
The first time I saw her, everything in my head went quiet. All the ticks, all the constantly refreshing images just disappeared. When you have obsessive compulsive disorder, you don't really get quiet moments. Even in bed, I'm thinking, there's locked door yet, locked man yet, locked door yet, locked man yet. When I saw her, the only thing I could think about was the hairpin curve of her lips or the eyelash on her cheek, the eyelash on her cheek, the eyelash on her cheek. I knew I had to talk to her. I asked her about 6 times in 30 seconds. She said yes after the third one, but none of them felt right, so I had to keep going. On our first date, I spent more time organizing my meal by color than I did eating, or fucking talking to her. But she loved it. She loved that I had to kiss her goodbye 16 times or 24 times if it was Wednesday. She loved it took me forever to walk home because there are lots of cracks on our sidewalk. When we moved in together, she said she felt safe, like no one would ever rob us because I definitely locked the door 18 times. I'd always open her mouth when she talked, when she talked, when she talked, when she talked, when she talked. When she said she loved me, her mouth would curl up at the edges. At night, she'd lay in bed and watch me turn all the lights off and on and 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 off. She'd close her eyes and imagine that days and nights were just passing in front of her. Some mornings, I'd start kissing her goodbye, but she'd just leave because I was making her late for work. When I stopped at a crack in the sidewalk, she just kept walking. When she said she loved me, her mouth was a straight line. She told me I was taking up too much of her time. Last week, she started sleeping at her mother's place. She told me that she shouldn't have let me get so attached to her, that this whole thing was a mistake. But how can it be a mistake that I don't have to wash my hands after I touch her? Love, it's not a mistake. It's killing me. She's been one away from this, and I just can't. I can't go out and find someone new, because I always think of her. Usually, when I step over things, I see germs sneaking into my skin. I feel myself crushed by an endless possession of cars, and she was the first beautiful thing I ever got stuck on. I want to wake up every morning thinking about the way she holds her steering wheel, how she turns shower knobs like she's opening a safe, how she blows out candles, 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 blows out candles. think about who else is kissing her. I can't breathe because he only kisses her once. He doesn't care if it's perfect. I want her back so bad. I leave the door unlocked. I leave the lights on.
That is not the one I was looking for, but I absolutely love that piece so much, especially the ending. It just like gets you right in the chest when you hear the ending of that piece. I love it. All right. So once again, the number to call in is 646-595-3965 if you would like to read tonight. If you are on hold, this is what you can expect. We do take callers in the order that you call in. So listen for your telephone area code. When I bring you on, even if I say hello, Pinocchio, and still say, hi, this is so-and-so, and always have your name attached to your work. It's really important. You want people to know who's reading, and you want your name attached to your work. So please, please introduce yourself. You can read two poems if the lines get too busy, and we need to switch it back to just one. I will let you know if that happens, but we should be good to go for two. And right now it seems like the phone lines are okay. Having issues with our phone lines, again, I will let you know. When you're done reading, please give out your URL. It's really important that people know how to come find you and that you start building up your writing network. Now, I always say that it's important to do, especially in this day and age, to have that writing network, especially if you are looking at getting published. It is a lot different than back in the olden days when you would sit there and you would work on your book and you would send it into a publisher and the publisher would say, oh my God, you're so amazing. Please let us publish your book. And you'd be going, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And they would print your book and they would put it out and do advertising on it. And they would put it in the bookstores and do all this stuff. That doesn't happen that way anymore. You know, now with self-publishing and with, you know, all of the small presses and stuff out there and things like that, one of the things that they look at, if they're looking at, especially if not if they're doing a single piece, but if they're looking at collecting or publishing a collection of poems, you know, they want to know what kind of tools you have for marketing that book. You know, is it going to be, you know, profitable for you guys to work together and to do that? Do you have a social network out there? Do you have people who follow you? Do you have people who enjoy your writing? If they plug this book into your social networks and you know, put it out there, you know, are there people out there and say, oh my gosh, LJ has a new book. We have to have that book. All right, so building that network of writers and people that support each other is vitally important this day and age. Okay, so, you know, kind of think about that. And we can do a thing where we go, you know, talk a little bit more about publishing and talk a little bit more about those types of things later, but it really is important. So make sure that you give out your URL. I get questions all the time. Who was that? How can I find them? So make sure that you give it out. Speak clearly. If you use a pen name, you know, think about using, you know, like, you know, Carlos just say, this is Carlos, blah, 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 and I'm written in pain, you know. So if you use a pen name that along with your real name, you know, give both. If you use just your pen name, make sure that people know how to find that. All right, let them give them your links and all that good stuff. You know, at the same time, feel free, if you read on the show, jump over onto my Facebook page, which if you're not on there, you can find me under Nyla, N-Y-L-A dot Alicia, last name Alicia, A-L-I-S-I-A, and say, hey guys, it was great talking to you on the show tonight. Here's my link if you'd like to come over and visit. You know, think of my Facebook page as the bulletin board in the coffee shop, in the Speakeasy Cafe coffee shop, all right? So go over there and, you know, put your little note on the bulletin board and tell everybody, hey, it was great spending time with you tonight. Here's how you can find me. Love to visit with you guys. Make it easy for them. In this day and age of microwave, this microwave day and age, instant gratification, people are lazy. Admit it, folks, we're lazy. You know, we don't do the stuff we used to do to get the same things that we have now. We just don't. So Make it easy for people. The easier you make it, the more it'll happen. So, yeah, make sure you can jump over there and just say, hey, great spending time with you. Here's my links, guys. Look forward to talking with you. All right, remember, please, as you come on tonight, that we have a mature rating, which means I never know what someone's going to read when I unmute their line. It could be anything, with the exception, of course, of hardcore erotica or adult porn poems. We have a mature rating, not an adult rating, so you guys know where that line is, and you're really good at not crossing it, and I appreciate that. So no bumping body parts, no tab A and a slot B. Other than that, you guys are good to go. I'm going to go ahead and give the first three callers so you can kind of have a heads up on where you are in the running. We have area code 850 first. Okay, they will be our caller, followed by 731 and then 346. Those will be our first three callers. I do want to let area code 512, LJ. Hi, LJ. You're not in the lineup, honey. If you want to read, press 1. If you're just hanging out and listening for a bit and you decide you want to read a little bit later, just press 1 at any time, and that will put you in the lineup, and I'll know it's okay to unmute you. So LJ 512, press 1 whenever you're ready to come on and read. Glad you're here. Glad to see you. All right, let's go ahead and grab our first caller, my Captain O'Captain, area code 850. You are on the air, Rich.
Hey, good evening, Nala. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm hanging in like a hair in a biscuit. I'm on the road. I just stopped to walk the dog.
I love those little one-liners you have. I'm sorry. I'm hanging like a hair in a biscuit. Yeah, that was awesome. I love it. I love it when you say those. You have, they're so fun, and you have so many of them.
Thank you, man. That's my grandfather's fault. But just stop to walk the dog, and it kind of it's going to time out just right, I guess. But anyway, this is Rich. All my social media is under Dead Society Poet, right under the name J.R. Hathaway. And Nala, how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm having a really good night, as a matter of fact.
That's good. I've got a couple
to spend
of
all day long outside, so.
Well, I've been down at the river house this week. I've got to go back to the boat Tuesday, but I had to go pressure wash the decks and the pontoon boat for other folks to have fun on July 4th weekend. Ain't that a hell of a note?
Are you working?
I will be. I go back Tuesday.
On the 4th of July. Oh, that's sad.
But anyway.
You know, I want to be able to say those words. I want to be able to say, yes, I was down on the dock pressure washing my pontoon boat. I would love to be able to say that sentence. You have to realize how cool that is.
It's a really old pontoon boat, so don't. The picture in your head is probably not what it is. It's a really old bondage.
I would be good with that.
I'm a vintage
girl. We're great. All right, go ahead. I'll be quiet now.
No, it's fine. It's a couple little hiccups to share, I guess. I just went back a couple of years on this one. I don't have the title written right here. I'm pretty sure I titled this one Kin to the Tide. So for tonight, it will be titled Kin to the Tide. Meet me at midnight on that deserted shore. Selfish of me, I know. I'm bound by threads that resonate in my heart. Kin to the tide and ghosts that dance on the waves. Let your kisses devour me in the patient light of the moon's eye, and you'll find your name amongst all these scars I self-envy.
Wow. That was beautiful and amorous. I loved
it.
You're welcome.
Pretty sure that one I'm totally having to do this from memory, but pretty sure that was in the book, The Lonely in My Veins. Pretty sure that's for that one. But this is one from just a couple of days ago. 5 days ago, apparently. Oh, this is called Wild and High. Tempest in my teapot blows the morning wide open. Lately, I count days like spots on the wall, filling my ears with the white noise to smooth out my head. Name tied to me has no handle to grasp. A bird just flew into my shed, beating the window, desperate like a man out of work, a dollar closer to broke. Wild and high is the grass at my door, worn paths wind like mountain roads, where my cat stalks in wait between the fence and forever. With the gentle wave of the broom, my good deed is done, and my friend sings with new meaning from the safety of the trees. He'll no doubt change his tune when he realizes cats can climb. In peace.
I love that. Your poetry just amazes me.
Thank you, ma'am. That was written the other day. I think that was written Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning, because that's literally what happened. A bird flew into my shed, and my dog was having a fit that there was a bird flying around in the shed, and my cat hunkered down in the high grass outside waiting. But the bird did get away.
Just fall, please, just fall, just fall. But he was doing it like an out-of-work person, like $1 away from being broke, or whatever it was.
A dollar closer to broke.
Yeah.
That's one of those little turns of phrase that been knocking around in my head for a couple of weeks. You know, just trying to paint a picture of desperation, you know, or something to that effect. You know, a man out of work, a dollar closer to broke. Yeah.
Well, it was wonderful, wonderful phrasing on that. Do me a favor, because will you put a link for your book? But I want an autographed book. I don't want to just buy people's books. I want autographed books. I want to be able to say I knew that person in person.
I'll send you one, every one of them. They don't sell. Chuck Dempster got them to send.
They'll sell if you sell if you tell people how to find them, because you're amazing. You have a lot of people who love your work. We support each other. So, you know, get those links put up on my pages, you guys. I cannot tell you that enough. That you don't ever see me really put personal posts on my page, except for I did today, because while I was trying to get ready for the show, I have this little Siamese kitten. It's a chocolate Siamese and just adorable, but she is like OCD, codependent, obsessed with me, like always has to lay. My boobs are literally her kitty bed. You know, if she can't lay on my chest and lick my face, she is not a happy kitty. So I'm trying to get ready for the show, and she's like a demon possessed, trying to climb up my chest onto my face, grabbing a hold of my cheeks with her paws and pushing her head. I don't know if anyone's ever bottle fed a cow, baby cow, the way they push their head against the bottle. But she was doing that against my hands, trying to get to my nose so she could stick her tongue 2 inches up my nose. It was horrible. Why am I telling you this story? Oh, because I don't post personal stuff on my page, but I did today. So my pages is for you guys to use as a tool to reach other writers, to share what you do, to post your poems on. Just go post your poems on my page if you write something amazing. Say, hey, Nyla, check this out. Let everybody read it. You know, post it on your page. But your whole Speakeasy community is on my page. You know, only a handful of them are on your guys' personal pages. So take advantage of the network you're plugged into and use my page. That's my point.
Well, if you would do me a huge favor, because I can't, you don't follow my poetry page. and I can't tag you or do things like that.
So where's your poetry page?
Dead Society Poet. My link tree is on all my social media, and it's got all the, you know, the Barnes & Noble author page, Amazon author page, my website, or Buy Me a Coffee, and all that stuff.
Okay, so Dead Society Poet, I've liked your page. I'll send you a message. All right, we'll see if that works. So, you know, you can literally take a link and click on my name and go physically to my page and post it as a post. You can also do that.
All right.
Just saying. Just throwing that out there, you guys.
Well, let me get out of the way for all the folks ready to read. And my apologies to the chat room. I'm gonna be driving tonight. I can't play around in the chat room. But hello to everybody. Looking forward to hearing everybody.
Wonderful. All right. Tell everyone again how to find you.
It's Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok are Dead Society Poet. I have 6 books. Number 7 is in the works. My link tree is on all my social media, and you can find anything remotely regarded to me. Have my arrest records even on there. So, anything you need to find, I don't have an arrest record. Never caught me yet.
I do.
Y'all have a good evening. And thank you, ma'am. And I'm hoping I'll be calling in next Thursday. Looks like I'm going back to Chicago. The boat is still sitting up there. So hopefully next Thursday I'll be able to call in again.
Well, next Thursday is the 4th of July is on Thursday, isn't it?
Ooh, is it? And then look, yeah. Probably
it is. 4th of July is on Thursday. There's a really good chance, you guys, that we may not be having a show on the 4th of July. There's a really good chance that I am going to be with family on that day. If I am not with family on that day, we're going to have a show. But this is one day that I do spend with my family, so we're just going to see how this works out. I may run a workshop on the 4th of July because I want to spend time with my babies. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I will keep you posted on my page on what we're going to do.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you very much.
You did amazing. Thank you. I posted your link on my Facebook page so people can find you.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you, ma'am. Well, y'all have a good one, and we'll see y'all next time.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you.
All right, thank you, ma'am. We'll talk to you later.
You as well. Within the words, get a rich caller. What did I do? What did I do? Okay, next caller, 731, you are on the air.
Who's that guy that says unmuted? He doesn't sound like that girl that starts off with a British accent. Where do you get these people?
I don't know. You know, she used to do the unmuted, but I don't know why they changed it.
He startles me. He woke me up one time.
I'm glad, because otherwise we would have gotten you snoring on the air.
That would be sad. Hi, everybody. Michael Todd calling from West Tennessee. West rhymes with the rest.
I am so glad you are here.
Thank you. Thank you kindly.
So the fireflies should be out in full swing there right now, aren't they?
I tried to take two videos in the last few days for you, and there's just not enough to make them come up in the video. I'll look back at them. I may send you something on your messenger, but they're just not blowing up like they should. They're coming in waves. I don't understand it. But
one of these days, you're going to get a message that I'm down at the Green Frog Cafe and to come down and have coffee with me, and then we're going to sit somewhere on a roadside with a bottle of beer. Even if we don't drink beer, we're still going to sit there with a bottle of beer and watch fireflies together. That's going to happen one of these days.
I could walk out my door at Green Frog Cafe in 15 minutes right now.
I know that. I know that because I stalk
anyway.
You. I stalk all of you. I know everything about all of you.
Let me take a quick break from this conversation. Go back 5 years to when I ripped Karen O'Leary's poem called Walking in Time. It's called Glider. And by the way, glider's something you sit in. It's got a motion. You put it on your front porch. Glider. Okay. That's what this is about. Glider by Michael Todd. I want a glider when it's my time to go from here. Forget what I claim to want a big rocking chair. I have no use for a big Morris chair to recline. When days grow short, my imminent recline. Glider I choose when comes my dooming day, unless there's a port swing so I can fly away. In peace.
Oh, every time I hear porch swing, I think of you.
Thanks. Thanks.
I love that poem.
Thank you.
It is, and I my grandma and grandpa had a glider.
They're
amazing.
Wonderful. Unless they got a really bad squeak to them, it binds it up on one side so you're not rocking true. It cocks you back and forth. That gets a little rough.
It has to rock smoothly, but I never minded the squeak. I always kind of liked the squeak.
Yeah. They're real hot in the summer if the sun's on them. And if they get rusty, you can't sit on them with shorts. They'll wear your legs out like sitting on sandpaper. But anyway. So, changing subject. I got on this TikTok for like two or three people, one of whom is Jimmy Ray Davis. He's pretty active on there. The only problem I've got with TikTok is they don't let you leave a very long comment. So I put it on him today, and he had a poem called Black Rainbow. And I listened to it for a good 30 minutes. He'll just play over and over. That's the fantastic thing about it. And I just proceeded to just jot something down in the form of comment, and it got too long, and I was rhyming it. I was ripping. You know, that's just the problem I have in life. I've got a rhyming disorder. And the rhymes were all crazy when I got done. I mean, they were really out of whack. I colored them up at the end to see where they all were, and it was kind of unlikely to do that. But that's okay. I wouldn't change it for anything. Anything is, I couldn't put it on his TikTok page. It wouldn't fit. So go ahead and read it here so it can prove that I did it. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Well, you got really quiet there. Were you eating popcorn and did you mute yourself?
No, do you want the honest God truth on what I was doing? I
Passed
just pulled
out.
Up a mess. I pulled up Messenger to Jimmy Ray and said you need to listen to the show at 50 minutes in.
Oh, he's not on?
He's not on tonight.
Okay. Well, anyway, well, all I told him in my comment was, I don't know what I said in my comment. I really don't remember. I did say meet me in Oregon tonight. So that's kind of. That's where you are. Get it?
It is where I am.
You don't really come out and say, hey, y'all, this is Nyla from Western Oregon, but you are from there.
From the Pacific Northwest.
The accent's real, folks. When I read this, you got to understand the word rain is spelled R-E-I-G-N, okay? There's no clouds. Got it?
Got it.
So there. And also keep in mind that this poem he wrote called Black Rainbow is just inherently sad, okay? And that just poured gasoline all over my fire today. Because this week, my grandson totaled his Jeep. He's perfectly fine. He's okay. He got a nice free helicopter ride in the deal. My radiator on my truck blew up yesterday. I don't mean it just went to leaking. I mean it went kaboom. And I got to ride in a wrecker. And in getting out of the wrecker, I missed the first step. Then I missed the second step. And I ended up dislocating my finger getting out of a truck. Okay? And that's not all of it. Today, for some reason, I took the notion I wanted to relive the day Elvis died. So I listened to radio broadcasts from the day Elvis died. I'm a Memphian, okay? So I listened to a radio station in Atlanta, and they would cover it the best they could, read it on their UPI ticker tape. So that was my general mindset about the time I stumbled upon Jimmy Ray. So this is called, as Michael Todd's written, Jimmy Ray Davis, Black Rainbow. I just called this Black Velvet. Time stands still between shade and shadow. Even superpowers cannot fend off this rain. Given, not taken, still water does not flow. A far bank is never just a stone's throw. Rings resist the plane, going against the grain, against its best interest, resisting the stain. Varnish and tarnish, in and out of order, no safe haven, save for surrounding border. Time stands still, static, in shadow and shade, like velvet, nothing more than purple suede. I should have attended the coronation. I would have long lived the king till tomorrow. I fear four corners have fallen to conflation, the powers that be left to dwell in sorrow. In peace.
Wow. Now I have to jump over onto Jimmy's page and listen to, you said it was called Black Rainbow?
Black Velvet. Black Rainbow. Mm-hmm.
Was his, and then, okay. So I got to jump over and listen to that, and then I got to play the show back and listen to yours again, so I can hear him back to back. Too bad he's not here. We could have him read it. Been cool.
If he'd have been here. He'd have been here. He'd have been here before me. He might have read it. Maybe. Who knows? He doesn't always have a plan. Obviously, I didn't have a plan today.
No, he doesn't always have a plan. It's amazing how many people he inspires, you know, the reach that he has for being, you know, just this quiet giant type of soul that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it when my children play nice together.
Well, there was a, in the first stanza, it's not really stanzas, in the second line of this poem, I referred to superpowers. You talked about superpowers at the beginning of your show. I had no idea you were going to talk about superpowers when I wrote this. And the reason I wrote this is to show you how my crazy mind works. When my grandson was very small, he was into Superman and Batman. Every Halloween, he was one or the other. And he would wear those costumes until he outgrew them. He was really into that. And one day I went through the bin at the Walmart or whatever at the budget stuff, and I found Superman and Batman serials from the 40s, which I thought, this is the greatest thing ever for my generation. And he will love seeing this. But you know, when I put him in the DVD player, he got a real solemn look on it, and he was not smiling. He wasn't happy. He said, I don't like this. I don't want to watch this. They were in black and white. He was used to seeing them in big, vivid colors, something about the darkness of the 1940s and whatever. He looked at that. He didn't want that. He said, get that away from me. And he never, to this day, as far as I know, has watched them. So that's the part about superpowers and the grandson that totaled his Jeep. And that's how my mind works.
It's always fun hearing the backstory, the things that bring up the, I mean, because your poetry has, your poetry is very personal. You know, you just don't write something willy-nilly. You know, your poetry is very, very targeted on some personal type of inspiration of yours, whether it be something that was inspired by somebody else or on, such as the superpowers, on some of your own experience. And that always makes your poetry very accessible, even though there are so many layers hidden inside of it. It, on its base level, is very accessible to readers to have them be able to be pulled into them. Am I saying it right, to where it makes sense? Do you know what I'm saying?
You're saying it very kindly. Thank you very much.
Well, I am your number one groupie, so, you know.
Okay. All right, I got to go. We've got people waiting.
All right, Michael, fantastic
night.
Job tonight, honey. You did amazing.
Thank you. Anybody
enjoy those fireflies for me.
Anybody wants to see me, you can find me at miketodd.blogspot.com. That's M-Y-K-E-T-O-D-D. I'll be there waiting.
Awesome. All right, Mike. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you. I'm going to throw your link into the chat room for everybody so they can come over and find you on there on Blogspot. I'm getting it as we speak. This is me getting it. There we go. Got it. Okay, it's waiting in the chat room for you. All right, sweetheart. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye, hon. All right. Our next caller comes from area code 346. No, it's not 346. It's 807. Where did 346 come from? Where's 346? Why do I have 346? 346 is after. My board just did some silly things. So 346, Miss Amelia, you're going to be after. Where did 807, Robbie? Okay, you're after Robbie, Amelia. All right, 807, you are on the air.
I am on the air. How are you?
You are. I am
yes.
Absolutely wonderful. I was trying to figure out a way to purr when I said Robbie, but it just doesn't work. You're like a kitten. I don't know why you're calling me kitten lately, but I'm not going to lie. I don't hate it.
I don't know why it came to me either, but it just, and I thought to myself, I don't know, I'm kind of pushing the envelopes here, but Nyla hasn't said, Robbie, stop calling me kitten. So I'm rolling.
I don't hate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had before I start my poem, my two poems, I have to say I was like surprised at how I could almost feel you jumping in your chair, like when I posted the picture of I'm looking at it now, the pen.
Mhm.
Yes, it's just like I could see, like, you know, in the post, I could feel that, oh my God, sort of a.
It's so cute. I love it so much.
Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, I got to grab it. I just got to. So I'm going to read two poems that are kind of, well, one's Medusian and one's In the Land of Magic. So they're mythological, magical.
Medusian.
Sort of
thing. Is that even a real word, Medusian?
No, but it's poet. But we have poetic license, so screw it, right?
I love that. I you know, Lewis Carroll would be very proud of you right now.
I am going to stare at him in a Medusian sort of way. I'm going to give him a Medusian kiss and turn him into stone. So here we go with Medusian. Look into my eyes if you dare, or if you please. Pray for your last hour to be peaceful, as wind blows through your hair only once more in a fitful breeze. Come to me, O charming mortal, as my arms embrace you with cold care through your limbs amidst the coiling tendrils of my hair. Your brief mortal life disarms me with the passion of a short life lived with dare. I envy that within you. You charm me, which brings passions up to the surface so readily to flare. I know that you want to become lost in me, though your spirit lies with heart in conflict. As you supplicate before me on one knee, you let your willpower dissolve and drift as mortal life seeps away in gentle apoplexy. The wisdom of my time seeps inside you as tendrils of my hair swirl round. You resound in sounds of exquisite pain, and maybe be merciful. My timeless wisdom for one eternal moment shall be your gain. I shall straddle you between my knees as I possess you, body, mind, and soul, and I shall demand you to extol my virtues to all the mortal world as the warmth of my passion slowly makes you stony and cold. My kiss shall be the last thing you remember as you forget your primal fear. And before your last breath is drawn and all limbs grow hard and cold, I shall look forward to your words as which grow bold before your breath grows staid and cold. You shall call out to your Medusian mistress to take you as her forever lover, and I shall laugh as you love and love you as a spider would a fly. And in the last moment when your lifeblood ebbs, I just may take you as my privileged paramour before you let out your last sigh. Mwahaha, and that is Medusian. And I thought there was one part that straddled the lines of what's allowed here. But anyways, I got away with it.
I didn't hear anything that would have been bad.
Okay, yeah. The between the knees thing was, I thought it was like, okay, I don't know.
you were fine.
Yes. And so the next one is In the Land of Magic. In the Land of Magic, druidic figures trace figures of power into the air. Mysterious shapes drawing power from the very air itself. As the air surrounding them crackles with energy, smell of ozone wafting into the breeze that meets my nose. As I look upon their grandiose gesticulations and in my wonderment I stare, there is a sympathetic vibration within the universe that the magician mediates. As a ringing of magical energy, it travels through the magician's mysterious ether, and I wonder at the language that the sound is speaking, my mind seeking to find its mysterious and wonderful meaning. Shamanic discourse shifts in beguiling configurations, pleasantly befuddling my senses. As this discourse of shamanic ceremony, it shifts like eternal desert sands in my third eye. In this land of magic, the totems of tent trick telepresence. They tell the tale of Teutonic ages in which the mages manipulated the energies of the universe. And I watch as those tantric totems tell the story of the age before mankind, when magic was not so hard to find. Runic ruminations are thrown before my eyes,
is the ruins rectify and focus the energy of purest magic. And I see those runes spell words of magic's words in front of my eyes. Stay forever in the land of magic, where the language of magic's power is the primary linguistic affectation that leads humankind's mind and third eye to infinite and exquisite imagination. And that is In the Land of Magic.
I really, really enjoyed that piece a lot. That was incredible.
I like the rhyme scheme in that one. I don't remember that one too well. And I thought, I noticed when I write poems about magic specifically, there's something that just naturally leads my mind to that particular kind of rhyme scheme. I think it's just because magic itself is like a language of, you know, of nature and rhythm and all that. So I think in my mind, I just naturally want to reflect that, and so I end up doing that.
I want to give you a prompt.
Okie dokie.
Because we've talked about this third eye before.
Yes, yes.
And it is, you know, it's kind of like Rich, you know, the way the moon is such an inspiration to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and your third eye, that third eye is very busy.
Yeah.
I want you to write a poem about what would your fourth eye be?
Fourth eye. Ooh, that's a tricky one. That's trippy.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Because
what
really
if you had a fourth eye?
Yeah, I think I could come up with something.
And what would the fourth eye be? What dimension would that be?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it would be. I don't think it would be anywhere like. For me, I don't think it would be anywhere between. Like, you know how like they say the crown, between your eyes or anything. I don't think I would be leaning that way, but I definitely think I'd be leaning dimension wise as to where it is. So.
As long as it's not your butt, I'll be fine.
Yes, I was thinking of a couple of areas in the body.
I know you were thinking of it. I'm just putting that out there right now. No butthole poems.
No butthole.
That's not your fourth eye, Robbie.
No, that is not my fourth eye. It could be someone else's fourth eye, for all I know. I don't want to know. But.
Oh, geez, Liz, I did not say that in my voice.
You'd be mortified if you gave me a prompt and that's what it led to. You'd be like, oh, shit.
I didn't say that in my out loud voice. We're good. No one's listening to us anyway, right? It's just you and I here. All right, Robbie,
just
tell everyone how to find you, darling.
Right? Yeah, that's just
lone,
you.
Our lone time.
Yeah, it can be found at Robbie's Multimedia Poetry and at Facebook. And when you go there, you'll see everything that my work is attached to. So my poetry, my music, all the various things like that.
All of those things. Okay.
All of those
Perfect.
Things. Be I ever so humble, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, right.
Right.
All right. I don't know. If I put it, oh, I did already put it in there. So what I've been doing, you guys, is as you've been coming on, another good reason to jump into our chat room is I've been putting your links into the chat room for everybody. So, you know, if you're in our chat room, I don't know, I've never logged into our show on the phone, so I don't know how that works, the chat room, if you're listening on your phone. But if you're in the chat room, I'm putting everybody links on there. And if I've got them all, maybe I can try to post them at the end of the show even. We'll see. We'll see if I can get that. I don't have Miss Behaven's link, though. So I'll need to get her. She's online tonight, where I'm really excited to see her online. We'll see what I can get. All right, Robbie, thank you. I'm talking to myself.
Do that.
We'll talk to you soon, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's grab Miss Emmy. You are on the air, 346.
Good evening, Nyla.
Hello, Amelia. How are you doing, my dear? Quietly, how are you doing?
I am fabulous. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, sweetheart. I was out in the hot sun all day long, so.
Yeah.
Quiet was good tonight. I am so glad. You are the fabulous one, that is for sure.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. So I decided to bring these to you. They're fairly new ones. It's called, this one, the first one is called Amazing Eyes of a King. You simply don't understand how much I've suffered throughout my life. Comprehend how much my heart longs for a man to come along and pour love like a swathe upon all of my invisible wounds, to wipe away all the past scars and dry away all my tears. I don't expect perfection. I expect understanding. I'm in charge of my happiness. I just need you to apply that medicine. I am so ready for a life, a storyline that ends with happily ever after. I don't know what he will look like, but I know one thing. God will be his leader, and he will bow before him before any decisions are made. I know that he will be tender with me, but hard as steel as he walks this earth. I know that every day he will prove to me he is more than qualified and worthy to be the leader of our relationship. I know that we will flow together even through our disagreements and differences. No matter how choppy the oceans may be, he will be the captain who guides us back to safe land once again. I will be right by his side, holding down the hatches to keep our ship afloat. I will be his safe place when the world seems a little too painful and vicious, soothing his soul. He might be bold. He might be a bit chubby. He might be broke, poor. He might not have a college degree. He might be tall. He might be handsome. He might be rich. He might be intelligent beyond measure. He might have some of the most phenomenal eyes. They might be blue, gray, green, brown, or hazel. He might have the most amazing smile, glowing like the sun. No matter what he looks like or what he does for a living, it will be his heart that will sweep me off my feet. His intelligence or wit won't make a difference because he is studying me for his heart to capture forever, learning every nuance of who I am at my core and loving every detail. He will even appreciate my imperfections because they together make me the most unique person. Turn, I shall delight in all his aura and spirit. I will celebrate every moment spent with him. He will be the wine I become intoxicated by. He will be my forever king. Holding hands through whatever may be left of our time on earth. Joy, happiness, and desire for each other will be our song. One mind, one goal, one direction, where two become one throughout space and time spent on this planet, love of the king, with the most amazing eyes, because the eyes are the windows to the soul. Forever, eyes are truly exquisite indeed. He was pre-adorned before time began to be my mate, lover, husband, and king. Musings of Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen. End peace.
That was beautiful, sweetheart.
Thank you. So this one, I had just released it on this Saturday. It's called Love Beyond the Shadows. He started off as a friend, a dancing partner. I soon fell so deeply in love with him. Jealous and untrusting, he changed. I remember when we laughed and had fun, yet it turned into tears and fear. Insane and demented, filled with jealousy and anger, taking his aggression and insecurity out upon my body. Nowadays, people want to play games and cause severe pain through jerking folks' lives around. Amusing and entertaining to watch them cry in misery, laughing at the misery they have caused. Assault without the violence. The sickening antics and disgusting behavior from very grown adults is beyond comprehension. Planning the next cruel circumstance they have planned. It is absolutely amazing how those that can bring a positive resolution just sit on their hands and turn blind eyes and deaf ears to the reality that they know is being created and inflicted. Just historically speaking, they don't give a damn. A river of tears won't stop the heartless. Cold stares as time ticks away. Dark souls. Memories of the traumatic experiences flash across her vision. Beaten. Raped. Weapons. Broken and used. When will they return what does not belong to them? When will compassion prevail? How long will it be before love returns? Moonlight and music dancing during the night, thumping and drumming until way after dawn's break of day. Magical moments of bliss and beauty. Hearts of gold shining brightly. Darkness waltzing in, causing pain and suffering. She broke the hold and the mold door. Peace found in a new man's arms. He created a safe place filled with love and understanding. Age and color, not. It's all about the heart and soul. Stay safe and remember to use discernment always. Much love to all. Musings of Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen. End peace.
Two completely different reads. Those were amazing, sweetheart. You did fantastic.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless you. And thank you for all you do for us. You are amazing yourself. Take care. God bless. Much this.
Thank you for everything you do, sweetheart. Thank you for being a sponsor of the show this year. We really appreciate you.
No problem. Much love.
All right, and I put your link into the chat room for everybody so they can get that.
Thank you.
They can come thank show you some beautiful love.
Did you put the page?
Your Amelia T. Davis right. page.
Okay. All right. Split a hair. Oh, well. But you can find me on Facebook with a like page called Emilia T. Davis, Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen. And if you like that page, you will see all kinds of poems and spoken word on that page. Thank you all, and once again, God bless this. Let me step back and let the next person up.
Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay. Miss Emmy is so amazing. All right, our next caller. Actually, let me go ahead and give you the next three. We have 81512 and 707. So, Miss Behaven, I don't have your link. If you could, if you're on my Facebook page, can you shoot me the link to your page so I can put it in the chat room for everybody while you're waiting for your turn? All right, let's go ahead and grab 815. You are on the air. Miss Gina. You're muted.
Happy Thursday. No, I know. Thing. I wanted to use my earbuds because I was in the house. I was watching, mm-hmm. Oh, God, what is this? It's something baking on the Food Network. Cake Wars. I was watching Cake Wars. I was like, nobody want to get it.
Cake, like birthday cake?
Me tapping into my inner fat girl.
Like cake for
breakfast, cake for dinner, cake for lunch, cake for a snack, cake for dessert. I'm like, cake. Yeah.
Like cake and frosting.
I'm not even cake people. A pie.
I'm a
like,
pie
not
person. I don't like cake, but I love frosting. Cake is just the venue for frosting. So you could have like an inch of cake and 7 inches of frosting, and I would be happy. If I had a hot tub full of frosting, I would be like one of those kink girls who do like those messy videos, you know, playing in frosting type people.
Bless.
That would be me.
You know I know. Yes, ma'am.
I would be a frosting kink girl for sure because I would get in that frosting.
Oh. I love it. So I was 10 years old, and I live outside of Chicago, and we're going Cookie the Clown at this La Bozo show. They would drum out a postcard. The person who was on the postcard win, but the contestant each one. It was like, you know, three buckets of a certain amount or a gift or prize. And when you got to the end, you would win a to my resolution around the sun. So I was about to be 10, but I hadn't turned 10 yet because it's 2 days before Christmas. This was in December. Got pulled and I got gifts, and they were sent house in the suburbs outside of Chicago. Parents put them up just like everything else to let me know, you know, what the gifts were. But I knew what I won. And so one, my brother's pooped in the Bozo bucket. And the other, I rode that bike, training wheels on it, until it was almost like, probably need to get her tested. Because the training wheels aren't touching the ground, yet she still. And I was like a scary child. But the one thing that came out of all of that was this. My brothers told me that my mom forgot about my birthday that year, that there was going to be no birthday cake. I told them, how could she possibly forget? I am the eldest. That's her firstborn. She doesn't remember anybody's date of birth. It's mine. It was wrong. It was her takeaway. She said, how you feel about birthday pie? I've been having birthday pie ever since. You ladies and gentlemen, that is my backstory.
Do you know what I have on my birthday? I get a hold of Christopher, and I have him make me a key lime cheesecake. That's my birthday.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I could get that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I love
good.
Cheesecake and
so
key lime
good.
Pie is one of my favorites in life. If I could get that, I'd take it really and wholeheartedly with my chest
mm-hmm.
out. Woohoo! Look at me. Yeah.
Find
you know
a recipe, make it easy. It's amazing.
You know, and in my mind, all I can think is, oh, look at me, it's delicious. I have everything that I need. How can I don't? I'm happy to be here. Happy Thursday, y'all. And you got poets on top of poets. I can do two short pieces and be out your way. And I will let your listeners know where they can find me. You know where you can find poetry. You can find James Storm. But for those who are new to the process, know that I'm here every Thursday that God gives me. Today, the devil tried to take me out. Put in a mic in and grab it. This is MG Awareness Month. Stand the math on that. But myasthenia gravis is an autoimmune disease that affects your central nervous system and given time, every group of your body shuts down. Slurring my speech and dragging my left leg yesterday. As a result, to the ER. I got my prescription filled for 2 weeks rather than 30 days or more because I'd already got this stage here. I need to go to the Wisconsin Dells with my bonus daughter and my grand. Couldn't attend, breathe, or function. Well, I ended up just taking the day off and resting partly from eating because I'm an advocate for my own health care as well as my body. First piece. This is awesome because I found this on Facebook today. Original Sesame Street class in 1991. You're on a picture. I can put that in on your page, and I'm going to freestyle my piece. We're going to call it, you tell me how to get to Sesame Street. Sunny days, everything is okay. Friendly neighbors, that is where I'll be. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? Sesame Street was born same year, month. That's okay. We are both fine. As a matter of fact, everything in my life showed me what it would be like on Sesame Street. Like, live, my teeth, to walk and be late, be, exist, and to grow effectively in PBS. My favorite shows, Sesame Street, next was probably Rogers Neighborhood. Your company was good. You rainbow, so a necessity. The thing about me is, you can give those things a second thought. Were the shows that one watches when they're growing up. The thing about it was, I wasn't taking any stock in how long the situation had been in place, what smile on my face, every time I was out the box to let you come to me and say, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I was getting in your head when I said it. Even think that it was part of your growing up. Man, the funny thing about me is I held on to those things specifically. And that I always needed was to know that my neighbors would go to Hooper's store and had milkshake before I became lactose intolerant. I would have walked around the corner and ran to the garbage can at the end of the brownstone. Their left leg. His wife lived, Maria, because of grouch, in that garbage can, pulling up the lid and seeing all kind of cussing. He was just telling us that he was not people-y. What? 54 years old, and I don't either. Be grumpy. I could be that grouch. But I went around the corner and behind the fence was that feed was, well, it was so way that you can only understand, honey, if you have the dry sense of humor for person that I identified with. Father called me that before my brothers hit that growth spurt. I was the tallest of my family's household, you see. So all I had to do was straighten my stage and go outside and sit on the front porch and wait. Find out what gem and jewel was going to be bestowed on me. My favorite thing was he took a cow count for the day. And he go, oh, oh, oh. Would be some lady. Funny as this seems, I'm getting a storm, yet I'm afraid of storms, and I know that doesn't sound like it's something that should be reality. I reminisce on my childhood. I focus on the story and reality, and not just on PBS. I'm happy with my neighborhood, my town. I could always find me. Thank you for indulging me, that's my piece.
That was so fun to listen to.
Hey, thank you, sis. Hold on. So I didn't pull anything up, and this is the thing about being a freestyle. It's like things just go off the dome, but I don't always. I'm gonna do that. Off the dome. I don't know. This is the quandary. Oh, God. Just the beach in the storm. Oh. So I came up with a prompt. I ran into a prompt by a member of the Small House of Poetry Clubhouse. My sister, Janice, is phrasing this because I'm not sure if that's actual form. The prompt. I want to just simply title my piece to be able to fill again.
You're starting to cut in and out a little bit, honey.
I got to sit down. I know why. It's starting to rain here. Nala, you know how I am when it's bad weather.
Get all excited.
And if you can hear, all right, can you hear me? Can you hear me clearly? Because I'm not going to move. Finish.
I can hear you clearly. Yes, much better.
Okay. So, I need to feel something. I'm going to title my piece. To feel something. One of those things like when you prick yourself needle and say ouch. To feel something. When you hand the handle or a pot. To feel something. Why? Be. To feel something. Be naughty. Get in the space. Just to feel something. It almost seemed as though that I was wanting, requesting, seeking, looking for that would make me feel again. Apparently, that was indigenous to me, made me say, I need to feel pain. This hurt makes me feel like worthy. Recognize it if it were just a squeeze. A kiss wouldn't be the lasting impression with me. You know how I came to be a position where, in order for me to feel, I had to feel it on the surface of my skin, it my shook, my muscles, from to the bone. I needed to feel it to the core of me. I need to feel it. My gray matter, my heart, and all of the rest of my intestines and organs, you see. I needed to feel it in the soles of my feet. I needed to have an ache like I was walking on feet that had been walking all day and night with no break. I needed to feel it. Everything in my life that I never thought was actually beneficial, and how would I heal from it? Sad. All I was getting.
and disappointment. The person who was seeking love became some kind of masochist. I literally was looking for love at the wrong places and hurt. What am I doing? Whose grace is this? To redirect my energy and get on another so I could find out who I truly wanted to be. I want to be the woman that needs to be hurt. I feel something. To be hugged. Appreciated.
Cutting out again.
Something to feel. I don't need. That I did previously. No better. Now I'm taking care of me. Peace.
You cut out there at the. Are you done, Gina?
Like I said, the storm is approaching. It already started to sprinkle. You know me. I'm going to debt. I can re-record this for C34 Music. Claire Service is going to be looking for this. And put it on my mixtape to indulge him, but I am so sorry. You know me, I'm scary. Once it starts, even when we get a warning of inclement weather here in the Midwest, like, mean it,
right?
Go. Find me, Gina with an E, like inclement weather, but I'm sunshine on a rainy day. The poetry is found, especially here in the Speakeasy Cafe on Thursdays. Love you, sis. Gotta go.
Love you, sweetie. We'll talk to you next week. You did fantastic.
I can
tonight.
Listen. Yes, ma'am. I can listen, but I'm just going to mute and sit down and wait until see what happens next. Next week.
Awesome. Perfect. All right, sweetheart. Thank you. Pop your link into the chat room, by the way. Okay. Our next caller comes from area code 707. You are on the air.
What? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, honey?
I'm well, thank you.
It is good to hear from you.
Likewise. I hope all is well.
All is well. I'm very excited to see what you brought tonight.
Okay.
Oh, you have to introduce yourself. I already know who you are, but you have to introduce yourself.
My name is Beely, ain't misbehaving. I've been on your show a while back, once before, but Gina Storm,
mm-hmm.
Hey Boo, she sent the link in the inbox, and here I am.
Thank you, Gina. I'm glad to have you back, sweetheart. I remembered you from the last time you were here.
Yeah. I can't remember what I did before. I didn't want to do a repeat. I have a piece. I don't have a title for it. Maybe you can give me
one. Okay.
So here it goes. When you want someone so bad, you'll ignore all of the red flags slapping you in the face and say that it's just the winds of change blowing. What exactly has changed, though, other than the time of day? There's not much of a difference there either. Feels like you're traveling in a time machine or playing with that rabbit-ass groundhog, reliving the same shit you've done in your 20s. Who really wants to watch the reboot of that repetitive show about how you and your feelings were shitted on, or how your heart was buried alive so deep in the grave that it couldn't be reached for retrieval? So it died a slow and painful death while you're on the outside looking into the TV screen. You're watching the same played out scene, well, play out, screaming to get up, get out, do fucking something, not realizing that the television is on mute and you can't find the damn remote. So you continue after decades of existing on this earth because this couldn't possibly be living in a delusional coma. You want someone so desperately that even at your so-called age of wisdom, you're attracted to the dumb shit because it's ever shiny. Your brain trying to drag your heart by the hand towards the opposite direction, telling you, come on, silly. But that fog is fucking up your vision. Flags still slapping you in the face. Headlights damn near blind your ass, warning you about the dangers ahead. All the signs posted read, stop, danger, watch your step. but you still skip along, hoping that fork in the road serves up something different on the menu, praying that this time will be your time, scanning the garden of unassuming danger for that four-leaf clover that doesn't exist in these here parts. There is no happily ever after. It may never be your time. You've wasted it, and now you're caught up in a drought. After all, you are in California, and there's no water to put out the fires that you set. You're talking to God, requesting this and begging for that, because you're a good woman, and you deserve good things to happen. But how do you figure you deserve those things when you never listen to what your father tells you? You're hard-headed as always, and just like the past episodes of that old show, that sitcom was canceled because, quite frankly, no one wants to watch your train wreck again. They already know how that episode will end. He will continue to put you in time out until you learn how to mind somebody. Get your priorities in order, because each order that you put in the drive-thru will be sold out. It will always be unavailable until you make yourself available for what he has been asking of you for so many years. Change the topic of conversation, because what's going to happen is, just like some of your friends, he's going to stop answering your calls and leave those text messages on read. He knows that you're lonely. You just want what others have been blessed with, but truthfully, you're not ready for it. You haven't prepared yourself for the abundance of blessings that should come your way. You can't even listen to his simple instructions. How are you going to submit to a husband when you won't submit your life to the Lord? He doesn't ask for much. Declare your love for him, just like he declared your love to those niggas who couldn't bless you as nearly as much as he would. Instead of getting naked for them, bare your soul to him. He already knows what's in your heart. Just confess it. Instead of giving your mind, body, and all things in between to someone who will leave you empty, give your whole self to him. He will fill you with so much love that you won't remember what a drop felt like. The sand in your hourglass is about to run out. So are the remaining days of your life. You better make it count. Bow your head. Bend those knees and talk to him. Instead of wagging your tongue for sport, listen to him. I mean, really listen. The roads leading towards your forever home won't clear until you do.
There is such passion in your voice while you were reading that, while you were sharing that piece. That was incredible.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Are you going to do two for us tonight, hon?
Oh, okay, sure. Okay, this is titled Monifere. So it's Yoruba for I love you. Okay. Our love is exactly 1 year and 8,000 miles long. I fought like hell not to succumb to the pressure of his pursuit. Who would have predicted that I would become addicted to the foreign delicacy that was him? Slim frames, but powerful. It was doubtful at first that he would grab my attention with every mention of my name, but eventually his baritone was the microphone built into my ear. His words pierced through me in surround sound. His arms was the safety belt that wrapped around me daily. His love tailor-made just for me, because we're the perfect fit. Spicy like a goosey soup. His skin was melanin dipped, which matched perfectly with mine. It's the wink for me. That and his conversations in Yoruba that makes me weak. We speak in affirmations, and I affectionately call him baby. He'll respond with ashavi. With quick kisses in between hugs, I love this new version of me. The transparency, the vulnerability, in short, breaking from my cocoon, breaking from my cocoon as a lady reborn. Maybe in the future we'll engage in holy matrimony, but for now we'll delve into the books of our lives that tells the story of what makes us us. Learn from past mistakes and make our union something to celebrate. I can't wait to read more about him and he about me. Monifere.
Beautiful. There was like an excitement and anticipation in that flutter. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Hello, kitty. Yes.
Loved it. All right, sweetheart. Tell everyone how they can come find you.
Oh, you can find me. I left both the links to my fan page and my regular page on the event page. So
okay,
you can find
perfect.
Me under Lily the Black Mae West, and my fan page is Misbehaving's Madness.
I remember. I didn't remember that from last time, the Black Mae West. I love that so much.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I kind of cut up from time to time. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, sweetheart. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing those.
Thank
you. And try to come more often. We really enjoy you.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, honey. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Misbehaving. All right. Our next caller comes from area code 573. You are on the air.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Nanu,
hey,
nanu.
Finn.
Since it's fiddle, I'm in my rocket ship, barbecuing, chilling with my favorite person in the poetry broadcast game, Nyla, at the Speakeasy Cafe.
Aww.
What the fuck's up?
What are you cooking tonight, Sin?
Pork chops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
pork
it when you
chops.
Post
last
pictures
night, last
of stuff
night, last night
that
was
you
like
cook.
11 o'clock Drunkard Burgers, and they were a wreck, but they were absolutely delicious tonight. It's not that problem. Last night was part of them, but now I got to do it right. So, you know, the cold's going. Meat's already seasoned, sitting next to the fire, ready to go. And I got some new work. So I wasn't here last week, so I went out and did live, right, again. I did it the other night, and I got a little bit better, you know, things, but I got to fuck with the microphone more, but I don't know, man. I just don't really dig the place, but it's cool. I got a really big thing coming up soon that's going to change fucking everything, so I ain't really worried about shit. I'm just worried about life as that is now. But here's the great thing, right? We can fucking write about it. Well, when you're, you know, you're talented and shit, you can do that. So let's do that, right? This is called, I'm a fucking kill that goddamn dog. Best of fucking life. The good advice. Not taken isn't safe. A flight of an indifferent life. Nice. Ironic. Raining on the free ride of life. Is haunted. Impositions. A funny way of fucking oneself. Stupid. Rigid. The blowback will melt the face. Smoking dreams of a better future than you. Can't see life now. Rather fucking ironic. Don't you sing and shower. Car. When you're alone, music is there. So, figure things get a funny fucking way to be remiss. A broken breath and an untuned melody, how they run from all the love that's around. Seriously, I don't believe it. Humanity states and the frivolous fuck taking nut upon cerebral became daft and the flicker free of sex lives hashtag. It's disgusting. Maybe I should run. I don't wish to be around the gun of insignificance you pilfer in the hole. No, I don't want to see it. Disgust and vaginal rust, broken penis. Let the ejaculations fucking around. No sounds. I'm alone. But I don't mind the road. Dog me. A wish to pilfer a like mind. Something I have become. Bag I'll hold upon. The rest of my days. Scary to be alone. But I know me. I fucking love me. Oh, I waste too much time. On empty daydreams. I know my mind be an octopus of fucking catastrophe. I see the means, lonely streets of such mean. Whoa, why you wanna hurt me? What the fuck? I don't lean on retarded vines. I journey six strings, 12 deep, so proper eyes shine, and I don't know, but I'll get far, further than I've ever been. I'm meant now to see the best times of my life, the jukebox screams, and I love the bottle rocket I am, long to hold hands. I'm begging, baby. Are you ready for the best days of our lives? No young, somewhat restless. The best as far of life. The Mockery Breeze.
That was amazing. You always catch me off guard with the way you end because that's not what I'm used to. It's like, wait, hold up, that's it, he's done. That was incredible, hon.
But sorry if there's breakups. That fucking dog. Jesus Christ. Dogs don't fuck all fucking day. She's sticking on the air every fucking time. It's this one or the one down the street. So, I apologize.
I had to get to the house.
But I couldn't go to the house because my son's got the music blaring or the TV blaring. He's asleep, but I got the fucking stairs. I mean, he's got that shit up. That wasn't going to work, so I had to walk around the house. So, hopefully that didn't fuck up too much.
we're pretty chill here. We don't, you know, we're good. That was your. We don't mind music and atmosphere.
Yeah. These fucking dogs. I fucking hate animals. Really. Bunnies are cool. I really like bunnies. All right. I love my Lola. I love my dog.
On the grill.
I don't really care for any of those. But yeah, I like rabbits. Rabbits are cool, man. Stretch out for kids, though, right? All right. So let's go. this is newer than that piece. He just written the other night. It's called "It'll Be All Right." This is Blur and Remission. Oblivion fall upon crucified masses. Crush this Easter seal of a snapback. Shit, whack. Talking stupid shit. Shackled the dismal approach under smoky trees. A hook, one which leads the killer's relentless and falsity's name. A crutch is the static goggles gifted under television lenses are disastrous. Such a fool. One's faltered in herd mentality. I dig the underground like a feather. Not this G. Money over any bitch. We see snitches in a ditch. Yo. Can you feel it? Definitely smell decomp in the air. Summer's here. Stick bound. I get clouds, ones that have feeling in their taste. And tonight, around 9, another cracker messed around, blew up through the score. These tweakers are on. Not even the smidgeries can top. Chill, it's cool, man. Hunt your head, galactic. It's fantastic. Rocketing in my rocket ship. We can drink. I say, fuck the busters. Beggars of wax. When you're burning like Afro Man, you get stuck. Deep-weighted incursions of the better man and let it tie so we get high, fucking high. Like a twang of gray, we rise above the bullshit. Why? Because we like to fly, eat pussy and spit, roll around in the bliss of life. I'm fucking loving it. Sometimes, yeah, yeah, my mind, the octopus of disaster, maybe, then it morphs design. I'm fine, I'm cuckoo, man, all right, that's tonight, another thing, mineral lines, top side, I'm soaking up rays, feeling fine, and not in the erotic way, the galactic life can seem tragic. But time doesn't strap gaps of denial. It's pushed through. No fight, more perseverance. Of the greatest of now, these celebratory times, I see you, and then smile. Awkwardly set the chance of thinking, Froggy, just So gap in distance, one thought to stand by, and it'll be all right. The Mockery Bridge, MP.
It is just absolutely a thrill to listen to you perform. That was a great piece, Sin, truly.
That's cool. God, hey, you gave me better luster than the fucking faggots I did in Fort Live, so that's good. I had three pieces. There's no, you know, single applause between any one of them, so I just bulleted through it, right? And then at the end, it was like, it's not the scene for it, but it's a practice. It lets me come here and be wonderful for you. So, nanu, nanu. Fuck it. All right, love you. Every time past two, but not on Wednesdays, it's when I don't wear any shoes. Nanu, nanu. Bye-bye.
Hi, sweetheart. Great job, hon. Thank you. That's awesome. Okay, our next caller comes from area code. I want to check because we had get LJ on because my goodness, Debbie Fleet in the chat room. My little heart just went pitter patter, pitter patter. Oh, I love you so much, Debbie. Hello. For those of you guys that don't know Debbie Philly has been with this show. She's like my sister of the soul. She was when we first started the Speakeasy Cafe, before the Speakeasy Cafe even existed. She spent night after night after night after night sitting with me, getting this show ready to go, working on finding poets. I mean, she's incredible. I see you there, Debbie. I love you. I miss you. My heart is so happy having you with us tonight. We would not be here were it not for you being with me in the beginning. All right, let's go ahead and grab LJ. Where'd you go? Where'd you go? Hey, sweetie, are you ready to come on?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay, because it kept saying the opposite. It kept saying you're off the host queue, and then I'd press one, and it just got messed up. I don't know what happened, but it kept doing crazy things.
I thought you jumped out because I thought, well, you know, maybe, you know, Grubhub delivering steak and lobster. Where'd she go? Why is she not here? But I figured I better
I only wish.
Right?
No, it kicked me out. That's
well,
never
rude.
Happened before, but it just, very rude. But, and it just kept doing weird stuff, but, I'm glad I heard the unmuted part. So
I have a question
here.
For you while I have you on,
yeah.
Because today we did doing my list of sponsors for our 2024 season. I don't know how to say your last name right. When I, you know, hey, thank you sponsors and stuff, and I get that list all done. How do you want me to have you in there, LJ? How do I say your last name? Do you want me to use your last name or just LJ? What do you want me to say?
LJ is good.
Okay, so you don't want your last name on there?
No, that's fine.
LJ Cool Jam. Okay, gotcha. Just your last name. I'm gonna Google that shit. I'll figure
it out. if you just split it up into syllables, you'll get it.
Gorecki.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
That I'm the coolest person in the world. Okay, awesome. I've never done that before. So, LJ, I'm so glad to see you here. Thank you for being one of our sponsors this year as things are closing down and just really proud, very appreciative of you doing that.
Well, I was hoping to begin this month, but it's going to have to wait until July.
You're fine. Just save it for next year. I sold my car. We're good. We're staying on the air for another year. We're fine. Trust me. We're good. We're okay. So just poke it away in your sock drawer for next year.
Okay. All right. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I didn't really sell my car, but, or maybe I did.
Yeah, you said it a couple weeks ago. You said you were selling your car.
Today is the first day of summer solstice. It is beautiful outside. Everybody should go dance naked in their backyard tonight, and I'm saying this for you because, you know, I know that, you know, this will be spiritually feeding you, whatever I'm trying. I'm changing the subject, can you tell?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so summer solstice, dance naked, LJ.
Well, Friday is the 21st, I think, and it's the strawberry moon, and it's going to be the fullest moon of the year. And it's going to be the, at the lowest point. And they call it the strawberry moon. I just read about this. They call it the strawberry moon because it's strawberry picking season. Not the color.
Well, I have a patch of wild strawberries in my backyard. So everybody come to my house and we'll all dance naked in my strawberries. Under the strawberry moon for summer solstice.
That's one of my favorite memories of growing up as a kid is in strawberry picking season, going with my family, and we'd all go strawberry picking and make strawberry shortcakes, and that was just such a wonderful memory for me. Did you ever go strawberry? Well, you must have gone strawberry picking if you've got them in your backyard.
When I was really young, I got put in foster homes, and my very first job was picking strawberries during the summer, so I could buy my first record album, kind of dating myself there, which was a Kiss album, dating myself even more now. but yeah, strawberries are a huge part of my life story. Strawberry, that strawberry field that first year, is a huge part of my life story. I love strawberries. They make me, the thought of strawberry fields just make me happy. Got me all nostalgic and stuff.
Yeah. I buy them every week.
Blueberries are my thing, though. If I buy something to eat, it's blueberries. I am. Do you know that if you eat too many blueberries, your poop turns blue?
No,
absolutely,
I did not.
Absolutely a true story. If you eat too many Fruity Pebbles, it turns green. What's got to be in Fruity Pebbles? What kind of chemicals have to be in something to make your poop turn green? I'm talking like bright grass green. I'm talking like, I mean,
some kind of chemicals. Powerful chemicals.
So I know these things because I have children, but, you know, what in the heck has to be in Fruity Pebbles to make your poop green? Okay, now that we've had this conversation, I feel so much closer to you. Are you ready to read a poem?
Yes, actually.
Okay, good.
Since we talk about turning poems into music, music is a huge, I'm such a music fan, and I have one particular favorite female artist right now that I just cannot get away from. And so I deconstructed her verses and kind of set up a poem the way that she sang her verses and how she rhymed. And by the way, that group in Austin, did you ever check into that about the music and poetry that I sent
did
to you?
Not. I did not.
I'll have to look it up again and send you the information again, because we have a what's the name of it? I can't think of the name of the. It's a whole bunch of different groups, and you can go in and you can find different groups of people that you all do the same thing, like chess players, or this one is there's poetry and music, there's people who do skydiving, and I can't think what the name of it is, but this one is poetry and music, and I sent you the information a while back, and because I know that some people were interested in having some of their poems turned into music. And this one that I'm about to read, it's very simple. It's oversimplified, but I just decided to give it a shot and follow her pattern of how she wrote her verses. Just to give it a try. And so it doesn't have a title, but here it is. Wouldn't it be grand to lend an open hand and give that homeless man shelter from all of his storms? Wouldn't it be kind to open up your mind and not become sidelined by views that only see prejudice? Wouldn't it be right to feel instead of fight? We cannot go all night, selfish and ever so tightly wound. Wouldn't it be wild to help a little child who has long been exiled get back with those who love her? Wouldn't it behoove to get into the groove, make politics improve, equal care for all humans? Shouldn't it be love we are all a part of that helps us soar above blind hatred and dark ignorance? And peace.
Wow. That was phenomenal. That was very peace.
Thank you. I thought it was oversimplified, but it was fun to experiment, you know, following the cadence of her song and trying it backwards.
That can be dangerous, though.
Yeah. The poem was nothing like her song. It was just the AAAB kind of thing, and mm-hmm. just for a challenge.
I love.
Okay, so the second one is called The Secret Woods. I ran back into the thick, dense woods once more to lose myself inside the darkening shade the trees provided. It was much too bright, standing directly below the cloudless blue afternoon sky, where the secrets held inside my tight-lipped mouth about my screaming thoughts that might reveal themselves and expose my unexpressed childhood emotions. Trudging through the floor of noisy, crispy leaves prevented me from listening to the memories of those comments from the kids who taunted me for being so different. Some people out there wanted to know me, to understand me, to connect with me because I used to be pretty. But I knew if I spoke, uncontrollable turmoil would come whipping out, and those in my company would exclaim I was weird or they got wounded. I couldn't deal with such shame anymore. So running away back into the woods for days, months, or years, providing the protection I need to keep my secrets, both good and bad, from affecting others' opinions of me and deflating my once joyful spiritual nature. And peace.
We're just,
thank you.
You did amazing tonight. I'm so glad you stuck in there with all your little bumps and bruises on that press button.
I got to tell you, you have one of the most soothing voices I've ever heard in my life, and you just really when I listen on Thursdays. It's just so wonderful to feel that calmness and that soothing voice. It's just wonderful. And so thank you for sharing yourself.
Thank you for being a spouse so that I can still be and do that.
Well, hopefully it will continue for a long time.
Yes.
And you can find me on allpoetry.com and under The Percolating Poet.
Robbie was so excited. He's been waiting all night long to listen to you, by the way, just so you know.
Really? Robbie's the coolest. Robbie is the coolest. I saw that pen that he sent to you, and I just was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And Robbie and I have started playing chess.
That's what he said.
Yeah, online with each other, and it's been like the best thing ever. And so it's really cool. And I love hearing all the familiar voices and feeling like I have new friends. And it's just, I'm glad to be a part of this. And I'm glad you work so hard to keep it going.
Well, it's a group effort, and you found your way here. You're part of what makes this place so incredible. You're like a bright, shiny brick in our foundation. And I can't imagine this. I can imagine you not being here anymore. So, and, you know, for being such an incredible part of our community, love.
I'm purring like your kitten.
Just don't try to climb up my face and stick your tongue in my nose. Oh, did you see my post on my page today?
I promise I won't, but my dogs do that to me. They try and pick my nose.
jump over onto my Facebook page and look at the post with my kitten and you'll understand.
Okay, will do.
Okay, all right. Tell everyone how to find you, honey.
Just allpoetry.com, Percolating Poet, and let's enjoy the rest of the night.
Thank you, sweetheart. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, Our next caller comes from area code 202. Put on the air.
Hello.
Larry. I am wonderful, sir. How are you? I mean, wait a minute. Let me start over. Let me rewind. It's Mr. Automatic Charismatic on the air. Hello, sir. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Got to get my shit together here.
thank
How
you
doing, sir?
Still fine. I got much love for you. I really, you know what? You're a blessing for poetry. You have a platform. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm a glorified phone operator. Without you guys here reading, what would it be? So, you know, about that. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
I answer phones like, man, I'm on point with shit. Yeah, I'm a great phone answerer, but you guys are the soul of this place. So also, I will get in that, okay? But thank you. I'm sorry. I'm making jokes about your kind words because I get uncomfortable. People say nice things, but just thank you. I'll just say thank you and be quiet.
Just accept it. If somebody's hungry, place to be. And they find that place to be. And restaurant says,
you're cutting
y'all
out.
Y'all keep me in business.
Are you wiggling?
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
But wiggling around. Yeah, are we on speaker or something?
No, no, I'm on a headset. I'm a truck driver. I wear a headset.
Okay.
Even when I'm not on the truck, I wear a headset.
All right. You are both right. I don't want you, like, running over a Volkswagen or something while you're reading.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, if somebody's hungry and they go to the place to eat, and they say, well, we're so happy that we had a place for us to go out and eat. Restaurant said, well, I'm so glad that you keep me in business so I can take care of my bills. You know? But the person was hungry, so happy to see that place where they could go get some. No? Profit.
You're still kind of coming in and out. I'm trying to listen very carefully.
All right. Yeah. Am I good now?
You do sound better now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so, you know, I'm always going to show you love. Get used to it. All right.
No, you're coming in loud and clear. I love it.
Yeah, get used to love, okay?
Okay.
So, I'm going to do a Juneteenth poem called The Price for Freedom. You know, Juneteenth was yesterday. I didn't do one all day yesterday. I'm going to hear one. This is the day that we come together, that we're trying to find a way to be free, that we're trying to find a way to have unity. The cotton fields in my hands have, and my hands have filling the thorns in my hands from the cotton. Working in the hot heat, working in the field, not missing a beat. I'd be a man, say, hey, what is the price? Freedom. I ask this question, I say, what is the price? Freedom. You say I can't vote. You set the dogs on me. What am I supposed to do? You set the fire hose on me. What can I do? As a man, plan, and you decide to arrest me. I guess these laws just want to test me, address me, and stick me with the chains. Say, hey, you will never be a... Get used to it, abusing it. Treat me like I'm three-fifths of a cattle where I travel in a time capsule. I keep on asking questions about the price for freedom. Keep on asking the price for freedom. Let freedom ring. How about that? Can't stop a revolution? How about that? Taught you. How about it? Come along. So strong. We're swimming. Victory. We're saying that enough is enough. Our lives have been so rough. Handcuffed. We enslaved mind. Knowing the real war is white supremacy versus black empowerment. A change. Change gonna come like Sam Cooke was saying. And, oh, yes, let that freedom come around. Let that freedom, I can feel it. I can feel it deep in my heart. I can feel it even though the world is trying to tear me apart. But I start the ignition of the recognition. Wherever the decision, it is being made. And I'm ready to invade and that turn over. I tried. The beasts run out down the waterfalls forever. Then again, there could be a war. Not pay with my life for price for freedom. Feel it all in your heart. Freedom. Freedom. Now, freedom. Then, freedom. That's all the man tells me. Think it's in.
Fantastic job on that. Fantastic job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What is your next one, my dear?
One of your prompts. Will of Fortune, the Will of Prompts. Pat Sajak. Yeah, wherever your prop was, it's going to be my poem.
Whatever my prompt was. All right, let me grab one. Let me pick one. Dun, 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 dun.
All right.
You
got to be like the lady pet.
I see them.
Jack.
Ready? I see them on TV. I see them on TV.
I see it on TV. Them on.
I see them on TV.
This is the time when they are grabbing my attention. And behold like the cold weather. Behold like the train wreck. I see them like a experiment. What is the significance? Will you tell the truth or tell a lie? Vote for me or vote for something that be like a ticking time bomb. What is saying who is the best, speaking from the chest. Now here. Well, logically speaking, I would vote for Dr. Cornell West. I know the big candidates, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, don't like none of them. This is opposite Trump. I see them on TV. Kind of funny, right? It's kind of funny because they're embarrassing each other, putting all their dirty secrets from the closet, everything. That campaign trail, the hell, can you tell? Yeah. Who's the big shot? Who's the big dog coming out? Do you feel it? I see them on TV. Oh, let me turn up the volume so I can hear what they have to say. You know, play by play, hoping that the truth never go away. See, we want to make sure that they're clear. So we go ahead and put in the vote in the ballot box, take it there. Give me what I want. I see them on TV. I say reparations, but see them on TV, where I hear them on TV, explaining, saying, hey, what do I want? What's in my interest? All meat, nine defeat, everything is so obsolete. I still see, hey, I am the positive for change, the good for America. What has America ever done for me lately? Like Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? Don't you know? Now, what my vote? I see them on TV. I see them. And I don't hear what I'm fault. Now, and I don't see. Start a match, there's a match.
Fans go wild.
Yes. You know, let me just say this. All right now, you ever want to go ahead and put your poetry on a hot show, you got to tune in. You got to go ahead and call Speak Easy Cafe. You know, you want to be there or be square, all right? Take it there. I want to go ahead and be there because now I can make you famous.
Oh, this is true. Because I stalk you guys and then sell your underwear on eBay.
Yes.
How to find you, sweetheart?
You can find me on www.viperempire.wordpress.com. TalkShoe, Viper Network, AC Viper Visions, my LLC. Find me on Facebook, it's Larry Viper Shepherd. Other one is Larry Shepherd, but I haven't been on. Yeah. Find me right there. I have pages. Black Lives Matter. I have Black Messiah. Diesel Love. Grown. I have a lot. I have a lot and a lot and a lot. But you want to hear Mr. Automatic Charismatic? You want to hear Mr. Automatic Charismatic? You know, go ahead and call that number, and you'll hear me on Nyla Speak C Cafe. What can I say? Hey.
That's too funny. Hey, sweetheart, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you, and I hope you can be here next week.
Thank you. I appreciate you more.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Our next caller comes from area code 9. Everyone's saying, is it me? Is it me? 1. Mr. Hatter, you are on the air.
Yeah. Thank you, Leia. That was
You're
funny.
Very welcome, my dear.
So, I lost my train of thought. Boy, that's just too much sun today. It's hot in California. Well, I brought 2 new ones that I've written instead of going into the vault. First one is called The Magic and the Keeper of Time. And it goes like this. The scene was red from the blood that stained, broken and dead where the heart aches remained. Hidden in corners beneath the grass, the words not spoken shall ever pass. Frightened by songs that linger too long, the band shall take center stage, turning the backs on those that don't ask, begging to turn the page. The broken are seen from times in between, dodging the sniper rounds, hearing it start, then falling apart, buried deep underground. What lessons learned will be tossed and burned in a battle where love is lost, emptier rooms where the once concerned, wondering what it will cost. Battle-worn trust come free to us, the words that follow behind. A savior has brought, many had bought, the magic and the keeper of time. Well, in poem.
Wow. I wasn't ready for that one to end.
You know, sometimes
like
I have trouble wrapping it up. I just right it.
It was like I jumped on, I grabbed a hold of the mane, and it bucked me off.
Yeah,
like, well, what heck
exactly.
just happened?
I've even struggled so much to end one that I've ended up ending it like I don't know how to end this rhyme. I didn't think ahead.
That's so funny.
Well, but one other one, it's a short one also. It's called Hey You. It sort of goes with the Pink Floyd, Hey You, out there in the cold, and you're feeling kind of old, do you see me? Okay. It goes like this. Hey you, out there in the notion with the floating light on an ocean. Hey you, dreaming to get easy to things that are pretty. Hey you, sending the waves that have no wordage, seeking things that give me courage. Hey you, tell me that you see me so I can go in easy. Hey you, don't go near the ledges that crumble at the edges. Hey you, look out for the sign. I'll ask you one last time. Hey you, in poem. Hey you.
You know, you could get someone to put music to that for you, and it would be awesome.
Yeah, that would. But it's pretty close to that Pink Floyd song when it started out. Hey, you out there in the cold, can you feeling kind of old? Can you see me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
But it's got a nice.
You know why I do? Because Pink Floyd is the best music in the whole world. If you go camping and you're sitting out and Floyd, there's something wrong.
I have done that in a whiteout blizzard, trying to get off a mountain, hiking off a mountain, playing, and I had a portable stereo that I was packing in my backpack, just rocking it through this whiteout. Yeah, Moody Blues and Pink Floyd.
Yeah. I saw Moody Blues in Denver on their Other Side of Life tour when they were playing, and they were playing with the Denver Philharmonic Orchestra. They had their stage set up in the middle of the Coliseum, and it was a circle and it, like, turned around real slow, and it was the most amazing scene of my life. It was incredible.
Was it a flying pig? Was Gilmore and Waters were together? Were they together?
I did not see a flying pig.
Okay. But David Gilmore is one of my favorite guitarists. I just goosebumps up my arms listening to him play. Comfortably Numb is probably my favorite jam.
Mm-hmm.
There is. Listen to it live. It's just beautiful.
Well, now I'm going to have to lay out in the backyard and listen to that. It is summer solstice. That would be a great way to spend summer solstice, is to lay out in your backyard and listen to Pink Floyd. Yep. All right, dancing naked in my strawberries. We're now going to listen to Pink Floyd.
You know, when you were talking about that, I have wild strawberries in my front yard also. That are buried out
wild
right now.
Wild strawberries are horrible. They are like invasive thing in the world. I have to mow them down, or they would take over my whole yard. Whoever thought it was a good idea to plant those was crazy, because they are worse than ivy. They're worse than that crazy south that covers everything. That's horrible. But they make good strawberries.
Blackberries are pretty bad. Once you get them going, can't stop them.
Yeah. Too.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you letting me read. I didn't wait till the end of the show. What's that?
Saw you on and was like, wait, no, it's way too early. That can't be him. Well, it's his phone number. But what?
Yeah, our show got postponed tonight. It wasn't my show, but I'm on the board, so I have to sort of monitor the shows as they play through the week. But I guess the host didn't, hours didn't mesh with her work schedule, so I was free tonight, so I came over to hang with you.
Well, that's awesome. Well,
Did you by chance... I can't remember the guy's name you were trying to get a hold of to present that song to.
No, I did not get a hold of them. an email, but no email yet. People are just so rude.
Cool.
Don't answer their emails.
I know. I'm one of them. I'm one of them too.
It's karma then,
yeah, well,
isn't it?
I just refuse. I have a hard time being tethered to this, to my phone. Also, I don't. I will lay it down in one room and I will go do something. I don't pack it with me all the time, and people don't understand.
I'm exactly the same way.
I don't want to be one of them.
Someone will call me and say, get a hold of me on Facebook. I've been trying to call you for 3 days. Are you okay? And it's like, I don't even know where my phone's. Well, it's shut off. Oh, it's been shut off for 3 days. I don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
No lie. Yeah. Absolutely no lie.
Yeah. I just don't want to be tethered.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Great. Okay, Nyla. Well, thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Thank you for being here tonight.
See you later. Bye.
Okay. All right, our next caller comes from area code. Oh, I muted the wrong person. Sorry about that, Martha. All right, our next caller comes from area code 585. My darling Douglas, that's your new name, darling Douglas. Are you muted?
Sorry, I was muted. I didn't realize it.
I just sit patiently and wait.
So, I'm glad to be here. So here we are once again with one of those designated times for blackness. This time it's Juneteenth, which we, you know, I guess we owe it to ourselves and to our forebears to think back on what they went through and how they came over. It gets a little strange sometimes that we have, you know, Black History Month, and then we got Juneteenth, and it's almost like, you know, we stand in the crowd jumping up down, waving our hands, say, me too, you know, I got history too. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully it's just a time when other people pay attention to what you're paying attention to all the time, or, you know, that this is living history that everybody is aware of, and then it gets celebrated at a particular time. Hopefully it's not forgotten in between. But I take it as a time that once again you can celebrate the history of a people. And in doing that, it's also a recounting of basic American history. So I have two poems. They don't necessarily have to do with Juneteenth, because I'm not like, you know, if you say jump, I'll say how high, you know, it's whatever I think fits the moment. So here are two pieces that have to do with Black history at various stages on the journey through slavery. And the first one is called Hausa Sun. So this is from the very earliest parts when freshly imported Africans were from different tribes and different nations in Africa, and there was a nation called the Hausa people, and this is about Hausa Sun. It says, scarred by rat bites and whips lacerations, unrelenting child warriors unrepentant, in this hour conjuring dreams of yore, African buffalo, baobab elders, tomorrows. Robust man-child of 16 years, veteran of hunting triumphs and lost battles, undone by new weapons and held captive, knowing only to resist what plans may be. Heaved, crashing into blue-green waves, to swim and float and find no escape, no rescue, only dorsal fins sliding by, summoned by his flailing, kicking, stroking. Exhaustion and the water's cold steal his strength, adrift in a reverie and a bottomless grave, relinquishing futile hopes, he mocks their defeated plan, remaining forever a free warrior son of Niger. Lapped by waves in the sun-kissed breeze, he floats on his back, inhales the salty seawater. The dungeons have left him, and the wooden dungeons have left and gone without him, their sails billowing over the horizon into ignominy. End of poem.
Wow. I should be throwing roses or something.
Well, for people who would rather fight and mm-hmm. die than to ever be what they were not. So mm-hmm. I thank you for acknowledging on my Facebook page. I did have a work published in a major national anthology. And
I was just so proud of you when I saw that.
Well, I was happy to see it. We've been waiting for it. And sooner or later, I'm going to jump on the bus of their national tour and land in front of a crowd of people to do some live reading, and that's going to be great. I thought I was going to have to. In fact, I was told that they had selected two pieces for me. But it turns out there was only one that was published. So the one that was published is on page 228, and it's called Mickey. It's about a time of my life in the 60s turning into the 70s when I was a high school student graduating, going into college, and just basically stepping into the adult world and some of the people that I knew, a particular person that I knew at that time and remembrance of her. So the book is called Black Fire, and it's the second volume of it. So you may see that on my Facebook page, Douglas Curry. And you know what? So that anybody who wants to see the story can see it, and knowing that everybody won't have a chance to go onto Amazon and buy it, I might just send a copy over to your website here and let it be seen there, if that's okay. Now, the one that didn't get selected, I was told it was selected. I was really happy about that, too, because I really liked this piece. But it didn't get in there, and I understand. I mean, they had a lot of really fine writers, and I was just glad to be counted among them. But this is called 1920, and I choose a title, 1920, although this is kind of a universal and ubiquitous kind of affair. I choose the title 1920 because it doesn't line up with any of the very known historically well-delineated times when things happened. People know about, the Tulsa riots, and they know about, the John Brown's raid. They know about that. But 1920 is just a year that lays there, but the same stuff was going on all the time. 1920. I've done all the work.
Wow.
Plowed the mules, chopped the cotton, cleared the forest, lined the track. I wasn't no trouble. I said, yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and was most a darn good hand. Here's an old my 19 children, all boys who worked the field, 7, one only his daughter, for the big house kitchen and old Mouse's bed. And when I died, they buried me in the field, behind the quarters, under a cypress tree. Met my grandson today, and know the fruits of my work was watching his lifeless feet dangling from above. End poem.
Yeah. Wow, hon.
Just a little bit of, unfortunately,
what do you even say to that?
You know, it went on everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, to the point of not being noteworthy. It had to be, something really extraordinary, like a whole town of people getting wiped out that gets in the history books that can't be denied and can't be ignored. But, people got killed every day just because somebody else was having a bad day sometimes. Or somebody lied on somebody. Or somebody felt like a whole bunch of people needed to be taught a lesson, so they choose one to not live anymore. And
yeah.
It went on every... And it wasn't just, in any particular place. So, people don't... tend to realize that, you know, while these physical lynchings were going on in the South all the time, every day in the North, some black man was being railroaded into 20 years in the court about nothing, about absolutely nothing.
You know, it's strange to me when I think about my grandparents' lives and parents' lives, and even when I was young, you know, how all of this was still going on, and it wasn't so long ago. I mean, it's
well, I have said to people, and not trying to over-dramatize it, but I have said to people, I was born into America that was not even yet civilized. I was born
mm-hmm.
and was up to be cognizant before Emmett Till was killed. When Emmett Till was killed, I was 4 years old. And I could tell you right now that at 4 years old, I knew songs that I could sing. So I was aware and could be taught things. I knew songs that I could sing when I was 4 years old. So the whole ambiance of what was going on, you know, you were at some level of awareness. I mean, I'm not trying to say I was a prodigy or anything like that, but at 4 years old, if you were a black boy, you were a black boy. You mean you were a black boy? So that's my piece.
Yes, sir, it was. It was incredible.
So I was really happy, you know, to have that other piece about Mickey included in the anthology. Mickey's a piece that I had done about a young woman who fell victim to the real opioid epidemic. We
yeah.
had an opioid, and it hit every black community in the country, where people couldn't walk safely down the street, where, you know, it was common for young people to go to jail or get shot in the street. And it wasn't about crack, it was about heroin. Heroin would
mm-hmm.
make, you know, people kill people in their families and take chances on stealing things from dangerous other people. You know, people would get shot and killed and cut and maimed and what have you. And it was all over some drugs that were being allowed into a community and weren't being allowed in every community. And that was the opioid epidemic that we
yeah,
suffered.
Yeah, people don't know. A lot of people don't understand that there was, you know, drug running.
It was a scourge of the, it was no small thing. It defined the character of the communities. It defined the character of the communities. There we are for this time around. I'd like to, my name is Douglas Curry. I can be found on Facebook as Douglas Curry. My writings are found on allpoetry.com under the name of Manchild, M-A-N-C-H-I-L-L-D, 99. So I had some username back in 1999, and I wrote it to be Manchild, but then I looked and saw that I had two L's in it, and I just left them there because everybody still in anyway. So I said, okay, well, let it be, and it kind of just stuck and stayed. So that's what we have for this week.
That's funny. You're a product of a typo, my dear.
And there you go. We're all products of one accident or another. Very few of us were actually planned to be, but we all make the best of it.
Right?
We take what we got, keep working with it.
I love it.
Thank you for
all
the
right,
work.
Sweetheart.
And I'll continue to be with me every Thursday that I'm able to.
I appreciate you very much, and I'm really glad you were able to get in tonight.
All right, now.
All right, hon.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So that is it, you guys. Thank you for being here tonight, both callers and listeners. We appreciate you. I'm going to play a piece to close the show with a, this is Debbie Philly. She's not even in the chat room, nor she's not even know I'm doing this. This is Debbie Philly, who I was talking to you about earlier, who was here with me at the conception of the Speakeasy Cafe when we, even before we ever went on the air, she was helping me get together and getting us, I mean, she's just a huge, huge part of our history and just love and appreciate her. So I'm going to play a piece that she wrote that I absolutely love. And this was the second poem she ever read on our show once we got up and running. So it's a little conversation between her and I and her poem, and I'm very proud of her poem. I think it's fun and awesome. I was on the telephone with her one day, and we're talking, right? And she's sitting there saying, wait a minute, hang on, Nyla. There's gunshots outside. Get down. So, what the heck is going on? You know, she lives in Philadelphia, drive-by people shooting outside. So, you know, having that experience with her really makes me appreciate this piece. So here you go. Good night, everybody. Debbie Philly, slamming down on my city. We'll talk to you next week. Happy solstice.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
So excited that you called in.
Why are you so excited?
Because I know what you're going to read tonight.
Oh, God.
And you sit right in here with these boys.
No.
So.
No, I don't.
This is my silly girl coming up here to the stage to take the mic and slam one down for you boys.
All right, I'm nervous. Thanks, Susie.
Oh, no, you're not, baby girl. You'll be fine.
Okay.
I am proud of this poem. I love this poem that you wrote.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
You're welcome.
This is called Slamming Down on My City. It says, my city is bleeding, kneading, dying, babies crying as bullets go flying past my windowsill. Do you think the violence ever will stop, hating, blazing, skating through our lives? Wake up, city of brotherly love. Do you need a shove, a hit? Don't spit on my streets. Liberty Bell is going through hell, dwelling, yelling, swelling from pain. Stand up and be heard against the germ, the virus, infecting our city. This plague's not pretty. Love your neighbor as yourselves. Put your guns up on the shelf. Take pride within yourselves and help us live again. The end. I can't breathe. The whole time I was reading that, I was like...
I just thought you were trying to be sultry, you know, like this.
No, I'm actually trying to breathe. Oh, God.
That was great.